guidance, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to What Do You Want Instead? Conversations with host Suze Casey and the creator of Belief Repatterning. In the next hour, Suze and her guests explore significant, catalytic, and life-changing questions and invite you to be part of the conversation. Claim who you are and what you want in your life. Here's your host, Suze Casey.
Hello, and welcome to What Do You Want Instead? My guest today is Michael Oliver, best-selling author and an international trainer, facilitator with Deepak Chopra's 7 Spiritual Laws of Success in the Workplace. And our topic today is integrity-based business. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, Suze. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. And yourself?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
That's good. It's great to chat with you, and thank you so much for agreeing to come on. When I was thinking about our time together, I was thinking about, I asked the question, what did I want instead, and you showed up in my life.
I think you need to qualify that just a little bit more.
I think our listeners may not quite understand that one. Well, after 20 years of being in the public sector as a teacher, and then I came out into business, and all the coaching that I received was all about how to close people and how to overcome objections and how to deal with rejection. And I was very confused by all of that because as a teacher, of course, I guess teaching junior high, I learned how to overcome rejection really early on. And I really wanted to do business that was in sync with the work that I was doing, the belief repatterning work, and the NECAN business that I was doing. And I knew what I didn't want, and I didn't want to talk to 100 people and hope that 4 of them would show up and all that old marketing kind of stuff. I wanted to do something in a new way, and you came along with natural selling. You'd been around before that, but you came into my scope of awareness with natural selling, and I loved it. So maybe you can share with our listeners a little bit about how you got started on the natural selling concept.
I started selling 26 years ago in Los Angeles, California, selling solar energy systems, domestic hot water, and apartment building solar. And for many years, I sold in the conventional sense from the point of view of learning the techniques that the most people are taught, how to present, how to close, how to handle objections, how to bridge to a close, and that type of thing. And it was really uncomfortable because from that, you then were taught how to handle objections, what's going on, how to handle rejection as well. And it just didn't feel right, what I've learned in subsequent times, that taking a sort of a higher path, I should say, I have to be careful about that word because it almost sounds like a judgment that there's lower and higher paths, but it would take a higher path within myself. I just really discovered that the feelings that I had about objections, rejection, and about the world of selling was they weren't based on fear, though I was reacting to fear. But the feelings I had were based on gut instinct, that there had to be another way.
Right.
And what I subsequently discovered was that we create everything, absolutely everything that happens in our lives. If we take on the mantle that we take 100% responsibility for our lives, which I think is a good place to start, then, in fact, we create everything. And it came to me that we created this thing called rejection, we created these things called objections, and that if we created them, then we could create something else. And that's what I discovered. I discovered that looking at it from an 180-degree point of view is a totally opposite point of view, is that you could approach people in an entirely different way and with a different intent and get a totally different result, a result that what I was looking for and what the other person is looking for at the same time. And so having done that, my life came peaceful, quiet, relaxed, came easy, effortless, and much more successful, in fact,
right.
Superbly successful.
Right, and it feels much better coming from that place where selling or providing a service is really providing a service and finding what the person needs rather than going out and pushing.
Yeah, conventional selling, conventional sellers would listen to that and go, well, yeah, that's what we do. We provide a service. We fill people's needs. We solve problems. And the language in very many ways is the same between natural selling and conventional selling, except the intent behind it is not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real key, is the intent behind it. Because reality is in conventional selling. If you're talking about serving people, solving problems, fulfilling needs, and so on, the focus is still where? The focus is still on getting the sale.
Right.
You know, that's really and truly where conventional selling falls down, because the focus is on me getting what I want, using you as an object to get what I want. And it doesn't matter what words you put out there about service and what platitudes you put out there, the reality is that it's all to do with the bottom line in the conventional selling sense. And I'm suggesting there's a different bottom line, and that's the other person's bottom line. And if you can dump your own bottom line and focus on the other person's bottom line, what will happen is you will increase your own bottom line tenfold. There's a little saying that let go of the outcome and your income will increase.
Mm-hmm.
Or change the outcome and your income will increase.
Right. And it's about that, as you said, the intention, because what we put out comes back to us. And so, you know, people can really almost smell when we're saying, well, I'm in service to you, but if you're not truly in service to someone else, if you are on your bottom line, they can feel it. They pick up the vibe.
Well, yeah, it's true. And what you say, what you put out comes back to us is known as the law of, some people call it law of reciprocity. Deepak Chopra calls it the law of giving, which is comprised of three things: giving, receiving, and circulating. They're all the same thing, basically, giving, receiving, and circulating. And so to use that as an example, here's a perfect example of what happens, is that most people have the law of giving working against them. It's a law of attraction that they have working against them, and this is how it works against them. The law of giving says what you give is what you
get.
What you give is what you get. So if you present and tell people things, what they should do, shouldn't do, if you persuade them, manipulate them, if you do all those conventional things, which is what is happening in conventional selling, what will happen is what you give is what you get. People will do that back to you. They will tell you back. They will persuade you back. And the way they do that is really kind of interesting, because the way they do that is that they will resist you, which is known as rejection. They will resist you in the form of objections. In other words, they really will object to you. And if you're told that objections are just unanswered questions, forget it, because it's not. What they're doing is they're objecting to your behavior. That's what they're doing. They're creating resistance. And then if they do buy something from you, or if in, say, for network marketing, they do join you, what happens is then they've got an even better tool there. It's called passive aggression, which is they don't do anything, or they return the goods, or they don't continue buying the goods like they say they do. And all the reasons are is because they bought from you for whose reasons? For your reasons, not their reasons.
Yeah.
They just finally gave up and went along with it. So how do you have that turnaround? How do you make that what you give is what you get work in your favor? And in fact, not just work in your favor, work in both your favor.
In everybody's favor.
In everybody's favor, yeah. Is that if you listen to people, which is one of the sort of four principles of natural selling, listening to what is being meant, not just what is being heard. If you listen to people, people will what? Listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And after all, as a salesperson or direct salesperson, distributor, isn't that what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Is have people listening to you. But first, it starts with you. You create the environment for the person to listen to you. But first, you've got to listen to them. And you can only do that by detaching from and letting go, or suspending, if you like, your own agenda and all your own stuff, so you can truly understand where the person is coming from. And they pick up on that, and they will return the courtesy to you every single time.
Right. So it's about, if I can just sort of summarize where we've got to so far, and your work has mostly been done in terms of, or recently anyway, in terms of network marketing or direct sales, but the principles apply everywhere.
Yeah.
It's about giving and receiving and circulating. Is that the three steps?
Yeah, it is. I mean, an analogy of that is that, you know, you walk down the street and you see a person with a grumpy face and you smile at them. You know, you get eye contact, you smile at them. What's likely to happen?
They're likely to smile back.
You just give them something. They've just given you something back. So you receive something. As they walk past you with their smile on their face and as they look at somebody else, okay, what's likely to happen to that next person?
They're probably going to smile too.
That's how you circulate.
And that's the circulation.
That's the circulation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when we look at it in terms of, you know, you, one of the things that you said was to let go of your own bottom line, to let go of your own agenda.
Mm.
And the easiest way to do that is to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, you know, I can hear listeners going, well, how do I do that if I'm approaching them to sell them something? How do I do that?
Well, you do that by setting the stage, using another principle in natural selling, which is knowing, which is about asking the right types of questions at the right time. So it's a matter of putting the focus on the other person and allowing them to speak and listening to what they're saying. And here's one of the clues, responding to the answers they give you. You know, listening to the answers and responding. There's a wealth of information in the information that people will give you in an answer to your question. And asking questions isn't difficult. There's, in a sense, there's lots of ways that you can get, areas you can get your questions from. But the prime area is, one is you can learn a certain set of questions to ask. They're not manipulative questions, but they're, like, call them starter questions, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the other questions, the more powerful ones, are the questions that are developed from the answers you get to your previous questions. And so when you're doing that and you pick up on what people are saying and ask them to expand on that, and clarify what they're saying. That's how people then consciously and subconsciously know that they're being heard and they're being acknowledged. Okay, that's another thing, being acknowledged. Another way is to get rid of your judgments. Get rid of your judgments about what other people think or say. You know, you don't have to agree with someone to listen to them. So just listen to them. Ask them where they're coming from. Because what people say to you mostly is logical stuff. There's reasons behind, they say. There's reasons why people want things. There's reasons why people don't want things. Dig deep and find out what those reasons are, because that's where the relationship is. Another thing is to get rid of or eliminate totally not only your judgments, but your need, which is a need. Judgment is just your own need to judge, mm-hmm. judge things. Your need to interpret what people are saying. What happens is when people respond to us, what we tend to do is we listen for the things that we want to hear, which is about 10% of what a person is actually saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we must listen for the other 90%, which is, again, what's behind it. And if we only listen for 10%, we'll miss key clues from which we can develop the conversation. And the reason we miss it is because we're anxious normally to want to ask a question which is relevant to where we think it should go, or we want to be able to say something which we think is important. Well, all that stuff is only important at the end of the conversation when it will have some relevance, or you might find out that whatever you have to say has no relevance, whatsoever.
Yeah.
So why even say it in the first place?
Exactly. And you can get away from the talking about the things that they don't want to then. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, you know, that's where presenting falls down. Don't present. Present at the end when you know what to present. Otherwise, you're just guessing on the front end, and you'll turn most people off.
Super. Well, we're just going to take a short break here, Michael. My guest today is Michael Oliver. His website is www.naturalselling.com. Michael has a fabulous e-course that I suggest that you go take a look at while you're listening. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Belief repatterning assists individuals to release limitations, visualize a joyful and loving life, and create self-empowering beliefs. Belief repatterning technique is an extremely effective and elegant method for releasing limiting beliefs and living your life on purpose with ease and grace. This technique is available to you in a number of ways designed to meet your personal learning style and circumstances. One-on-one consultations, in person and over the phone, business and life coaching packages, courses, seminars, and conferences, and CDs and books. Additional information regarding sessions, coaching, seminars, and course offerings is available on our website, www.beliefrepattering.com, or contact our office Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m. Mountain Time at 403-862-6483, beliefrepattering.com. Assisting individuals to release limitations, visualize a joyful and loving life, and create self-empowering beliefs. BeliefRepattering.com.
Women, do you feel that you're too old to be active, too old to be beautiful, too old to have fun, or too old to be fabulous? Well, if that's what you think, then there's good news for you. You're wrong. Tune in to Voice America every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Aging Outside the Box. Fabulous Women Over 50 with Shirley Mitchell. Aging Outside the Box is a fabulous, fun program that gives you every reason to feel greater than you ever have. Host Shirley Mitchell and O.E. Cruiser Small will cover phenomenal topics such as women's issues, health, diet, exercise, nutrition, faith, travel, and many other concerns for women of all ages. Feel young, feel smart, and feel fabulous by tuning in to Aging Outside the Box. Fabulous Women Over 50 with Shirley Mitchell every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to What Do You Want Instead with Suze Casey. If you're interested in joining our conversation with a question or comment, please call us, 866-472-5792. Now, here's Suze.
Hi, and welcome back to What Do You Want Instead. My guest today is Michael Oliver, and Michael's website is www.naturalselling.com. And we're talking about integrity-based business, and just integrity-based living, I guess, Michael, we could call it.
same thing, really, isn't it?
It really is the same thing. Now, Michael, when I first met you, what I really valued about you was your ability to ask good questions. And, of course, with my background as a teacher, people always say to me, oh, you ask good questions. But I did it, you know, kind of intuitively after years in the classroom and things that work and things that don't work. And I suspect that's where you got to it as well, only coming from a sales background.
Yeah, well, I used to present, when I first started selling, the first years of selling, I did what most salespeople did, was to present so-called features, advantages, and benefits of my product or service, you know, thinking that people would be impressed by it and learning how to be persuasive. And, in fact, I think it's probably what most teachers still do.
I was going to say, it reminds me a lot of my first few years of teaching junior high, where I just stand up front and just tell them stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, some of it stuck.
Well, yeah, Winston Churchill once said, you know, he said, I hate to be taught, but I love to learn.
Yes.
And what I discovered is that through asking questions, is that you can help people learn. You can help people in the field of selling. You can help people buy. And because that's what selling is all about, is helping people. Well, it's not just what it's all about. It's part of what it's all about. But you can help people buy through asking questions. And so... And also discover a lot more, get a better picture of what people are wanting instead of just guessing, you know, and so on.
Or making the assumption that what your needs are theirs, which is when, as we spoke about before, that, you know, you're putting your agenda on someone else. And I think that that's the source of so much miscommunication in our world in whatever arena we're in.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, something that comes to mind is using the words like, you know, we got the best whatever. And I love it when salespeople do that to me because, I mean, I'm gentle about it and so on, but I look at them quizzically and I say, how do you know it's the best?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go off all sorts of rationales as to why it's the best and so on and so forth. And I said, yeah, that's all very well, but who's saying it's the best? And they said, well, we know it's the best. I said, yeah, I understand you're saying that, but how do you know it's the best? You know, who's got to be the real judge of that? And they look at me, and some of them would go, well, I guess you have. I said, and what you're saying so far has not told me that it's going to be in my best interest. And occasionally I've had one or two actually ask this, well, what do you mean, why not? I said, because you haven't really asked me what I want to use this for or how I'm going to use it. You just assumed that you got the best thing, and that's the way I want to use it. And then I'll turn around and say, so let me help you. This is what I'm looking for, and I'll detail to them the answers to the questions that they should have asked me. And it gives them a picture, and they say, oh, I got it. Oh, I see. Okay, so this feature then will do that for you. That's how you turn features into advantages and benefits. Otherwise, a feature stays a feature. It's meaningless to people unless, of course, you know, a person has expressed a need for that particular feature, and then it's an advantage or a benefit to them.
So, Michael, can we take and put that into a concrete example? What can we use as an example? I mean, we could use either, you know, your business.
Okay, let's do this. You walk into a computer store.
Okay.
Right? And you want to buy...
Immediately you've got my fear up because I always feel like I don't know anything.
There you go.
Yeah, but, so good example.
Okay, so you walk into a computer store and you want to buy a printer.
Okay.
Okay. Most salespeople, actually they're getting pretty good now, actually, so I'll be a bit cautious there about the most salespeople. This is how, you know, conventionally how salespeople approach you. They say to you, can I help you? I don't have any problem with that, you know, can I help you? You say, yes, I'm looking for a computer printer. And they say, okay, great, over here, please, just follow me. And you follow them, and you go up to a computer stand, and there on a whole row of shelves, they show you, well, these are our computers. Now, this one at the moment is probably the one that's going to be the best one for you because it's on special offer at the moment, and it's got this widget, and it's got that widget, and it's got this gadget and that gadget, and it'll do this for you, and it'll pump out, you know, 3 pages a minute. It's got 2,000 and 1,000,003 pixels,
yeah.
A yada, 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 yada.
And you're glazing over
and you're totally
as wishing you were someplace else.
Yeah. I mean, and so how can you reverse that?
So let me be the person walking into the computer store, and you be the.
Okay,
I walk in, and it's hi.
Hi. Is there anything I can help you with today?
Need a printer.
You need a printer. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Do you presently have a printer?
I do, but it's driving me nuts.
And what kind of printer is it?
It's black and white.
When you say black and white, what do you mean by black and white?
It only does black and white stuff.
Oh, I see. So it only prints black and white.
It only prints, yeah. Okay. It's a black and white printer.
Okay, and it's a computer printer you're looking for?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I just want to clarify that because I'm not too sure. And how long have you had your present printer?
Oh, boy. I don't know, a couple of years, I guess.
Okay. And you said it's driving you nuts.
Yes.
What's happening that it's driving you nuts?
Well, there's a couple of things that it's doing. You know, when I see beautiful things on my screen, and when it prints it in black and white, and it's all streaky and liney.
Okay.
And then it also does, like, it just kind of jams a lot, and it's not very fast. And then when I spill something on it, all the typing goes away. Like, it all blurs.
So it sounds to me that you really do need a computer then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me ask you, what do you want your computer to do? What kind of work do you do? What is it you want your computer to do?
Mostly, like, printing of like, manuals and documents and stuff like that.
Okay. Is color important to you?
You know, I didn't think it was, but now that you mention it, that's one of the things that's bugging me.
Okay.
Right, is that I don't get the pictures.
So what would you use the color for?
Mostly, like, when I'm just printing things off, you know, like the pictures off of the internet and stuff like that.
Okay, so does the color have to be very, how can I put it, very precise? Does it have to be very accurate or
no,
can it be in sort of draft form?
No, like, I don't do pictures or, like, I don't have a camera or any of that kind of stuff, so I'm not doing that.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, see if I've got this right, what you're doing is a lot of printing. Let me ask you another question. Do you want to do sort of churn out printing pretty quickly in draft form, or are you looking for a good quality printing at the end of the day?
Both would be great.
Both would be great. So good quality printing. But what about the color again? Are you looking for good quality color?
It doesn't need to be.
Okay.
Yeah, it just needs to be sort of, you know, essence of the color.
Okay. And so... And
or even, you know what, it wouldn't even matter if the pictures came out clearer as opposed to all streaky.
Okay, so primarily you're focused on printing the printed word. You want to be able to churn it out quickly in draft form and also be able to print a good quality copy to send out to someone. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so it's not that important to sort of how fast it comes out on the quality side, I would suggest, but it is pretty much on the draft form because you probably want to review the draft pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is there anything else that you could be looking for?
I'm using a Macintosh computer.
Okay, good, thank you.
So I don't know if that makes a difference.
Well, it probably will, because then we're sort of fairly limited in our areas. Now, I don't know too much about printers here, so...
I think we've got, you know, we've given listeners the idea.
But basically, what we've got now is a pretty good picture. And also, see, the beauty of it is it's given you a clearer picture of what you're looking for as well.
And that's what I was going to say, because your questions allowed me to clarify in my own mind what I was looking for, because, you know, when I walked in, as I said, you put me in a computer store, I'm already nervous and upset, and it allowed me to get comfortable with myself and kind of think inside my own head, what do I want? What do I use it for?
There you go.
Instead of just operating out of the frustration.
Yeah. And I'd ask you a couple more questions as well, just to clarify a couple of things, you know, such as, you know, is this something you want to keep for a long time? It's like, do you want a heavy workhorse, or is it something you might be upgrading in the future because your needs might change? Because that gives me an idea of the cost which one to steer you towards.
Right.
And I could even ask you. I said, so are you looking for sort of a higher grade model or something that's going to just last you for a year or two? You know, give me an idea.
Right.
And then you give me an idea, and I say, okay, I think I've got a pretty good idea of what you got. So let me take you over to our computers. Now I take you, not computers, printers. Now
right.
I take
yeah.
you over to the printers and
instead
say,
instead of starting there and getting me all confused.
There you go. Based on what you told me, I'm going to recommend that one of these three printers, okay, are probably going to work for you.
And right, you'll use the criteria that I've given you.
There you go.
To tell me that. Okay, so just to kind of summarize that last part, the good questions that you asked are pretty fundamental.
Yeah.
The first one is kind of around the what do you want.
Yeah.
And the second one is around why do you want it?
Yeah.
For what purpose?
Yeah.
Now, we didn't get to the third one, which is how committed are you? Or did we?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was a part of a prior conversation, but in selling, these are the three things that I'm looking for, okay? And this is what I train people to look for. First of all, get off trying to sell anything. Just suspend all that, let it go. Okay, the sale is just a natural result of the integrity of the process, and the process is through asking questions and listening and focusing on finding out basically three things. What is it that you want? Why do you want it? And the third thing, which is important, is, you know, what is your degree of motivation to change right now? In other words, is it something you want to do right now? How urgent is it? It really depends on what you're selling as to how you phrase that last one. But it has to do with is this something that you're prepared to do right now or later or so on?
Because and you actually did get that from me because you found out that I was pretty frustrated with where I was right then.
Yeah.
Okay. So the questions can be quite... not in your face, not obvious necessarily to people, which is
yeah.
kind of traditional selling tends to be pretty obvious and you can watch people walk you through, but this is, I just felt like we were having a conversation.
That's what it is. It's a conversation, it's a dialogue basically. It's what Socrates used to do, you know, 2,000 years ago in Athens in Greece. You know, he created the Socratic dialogue. He had conversations with people. He allowed people to talk about themselves and come to their own logical conclusions. You see, I didn't try and sell you anything. You
no.
basically sold yourself on what it was that you wanted. All I was doing was facilitating the process to discover what you wanted, why you wanted it, and, you know, to a certain extent, the degree of motivation of you wanting to change right now, which you would have wanted to change right now because you're going to buy from me, because you're not going to meet anyone else like me because I seem to appear to understand what it is that you want, and you'll keep coming back to me.
Right.
For all sorts of things.
I felt like I was cared about. I felt like I was heard. I felt like I was understood. And that's really the principles of natural selling, isn't it?
That really is. And it's also many of the principles of things that you do as well.
Well, when we come back from our break, we're going to talk a little bit more about how natural selling and belief repatterning work together. My guest is Michael Oliver. Check out his website at www.naturalselling.com. We'll be right back after this break.
Real Life Solutions, Voice America Health and Wellness.
Belief repatterning assists individuals to release limitations, visualize a joyful and loving life, and create self-empowering beliefs. Belief repatterning technique is an extremely effective and elegant method for releasing limiting beliefs and living your life on purpose with ease and grace. This technique is available to you in a number of ways designed to meet your personal learning style and circumstances. One-on-one consultations, in person and over the phone, business and life coaching packages, courses, seminars, and conferences, and CDs and books. Additional information regarding sessions, coaching, seminars, and course offerings is available on our website, www.beliefrepattering.com, or contact our office Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m. Mountain Time at 403-862-6483, beliefrepattering.com. Assisting individuals to release limitations, visualize a joyful and loving life, and create self-empowering beliefs. BeliefRepattering.com.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks, I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Steps to a Healthier You. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to What Do You Want Instead? With Suze Casey. If you're interested in joining our conversation with a question or comment, please call us, 866-472-5792. Now, here's Suze.
Hi, and welcome back. On this week of What Do You Want Instead, I'm talking with Michael Oliver. Michael has written a great book on natural selling. He's got a fabulous website. I encourage you to check it out. And more than that, he's got an e-course that is a free daily message that comes to you. And I just worked through it last week, Michael, in preparation for our talk today. And it's a really fabulous piece of work that really supports people.
Yeah, thank you. I get told off because we give it away and told that I should really sell it. But it's called 7 Steps to Natural Selling. And it gives the whole foundation behind what we're talking about, which is where to come from, the foundation part, before we start getting into sort of what do you ask and what do you listen for, and so on, because that's really the integral part of it is your own mental attitude, your own thinking, your own shift in thinking, and it's e-course seven different lessons over 7 days, and it's worked quite well for us, and it's not just to do with selling either. Is to do with relationships, to do with basically anything. You can interpret it in anything that's to do with yourself, relationships, or selling, or interactive interaction with other beings.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting that you said that you're getting some flack from likely your marketing people or your accountant person for not selling.
No, from the competition.
Oh, from the competition. Aha! I was going to say because your team should understand that it's the giving and providing a need, and then people go, this is really helpful and supportive, and then they look further.
Yeah.
And so having people wanting to come to you, I thought it's a very fabulous thing to watch through, and I found it really helpful just in terms of refocusing myself.
Oh, good. I'm glad you found it useful.
Mm-hmm. But it's about, as you say, it's not just about selling, it is just about selling. Everything we do is selling, isn't it? I have to sell myself on ideas all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on how you look at selling again. I look at selling taking the ancient texts, which if you look at the old English dictionary definition, selling means to serve, it means to help, it means to exchange, as opposed to selling, which is the modern-day definition, the conventional selling, which is to persuade or manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different, as I said earlier, it's a 180-degree mind shift into the way that you look at things. And that's pretty much, to do with anything in life is that, by changing the way we look at things, we change our consciousness, and by doing that, we start looking at the world in a different way. We start looking at the world in the way that it is, not in the way that we think it is or the way that we are. And so when we start doing that, then things start happening to us. It's the same thing as you can go back over a year using conventional selling techniques, and let's say you spoke with 100 people, and you've got a sort of certain margin of success, maybe, I don't know, 10 people did something, took some action. You could take those very, very same 10 people, let's say you could clone them, and use, if you like, a natural selling process, and your results would probably soar to about 40 or 50 of those people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're getting results where people are making calls, for example, and reducing the number of calls from people joining them or selling their products from 1 in 150 down to 1 in 15.
Wow, that's an incredible change. And
it's
by focusing on what the other person needs.
That's exactly it, yeah. It's literally by coming from a different place. But primarily it's a place of intent. You know, for example, I used to have, I still do, a lot of the old sales books, which were very manipulative. And I was on the verge of tossing them out one day, thinking, well, I'm never going to read these. But I opened one, and I started reading it, and I thought, wow, these are pretty good questions. And then what suddenly occurred to me is that they were good questions. The difference was the intent behind them.
Right.
And so if you rip out all the paragraphs about the intent, about, you know, for example, there was a principle in there which said, you know, about principle number one, ask questions, but only ask the questions that you know you're going to get a yes answer to.
Ah.
You know, that's not a principle.
That's a manipulation.
That's a technique, you know. And so, you know, you rip out all that stuff and start looking at the questions in a different way. And I was going, wow, yeah, there's some pretty skookum questions in here. I like these, you know.
Uh-huh.
But again, you do the same sort of thing. I mean, you ask people questions and you allow them to go through some internal dialogue themselves or change their internal dialogue, don't you?
Exactly, exactly. That's what the repatterning is about, is you're going to be asking yourself questions, you're going to be having a conversation in your mind, you might as well have a nice one.
Yeah.
Might as well be supportive. And one of the questions that I often ask people is, if you spoke to friends the way you speak to yourself, how many friends would you have?
That's a good one. I like that, yeah.
And so you know, when you can answer, I'd have lots of friends, then your personal growth work is on track.
Yeah.
And when you go, oh, I wouldn't have any, then you've got some work to do in getting those questions, like you say, the sort of the nasty questions in your head, and changing the perspective 180 degrees.
Yeah.
So what's the exact polar opposite of where you're at right now?
I like the Bodhisattva saying, which says, why worry? He goes, it is, why worry? Because if you're worrying about something, change it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have to worry anymore. And it says, and if you can't change it, why worry? Because worrying isn't going to change it.
Right.
And so it's a real truth. I mean, it's really, really, and it's that. I've got a great friend who, whenever some negative thought comes in his mind or some worrying thought, you know, he tells me he observes it, and he looks at it, and he goes, gee, I wonder where that came from. It doesn't belong to me. And he gets rid of it.
Yeah.
It comes in sort of one part and out the other, you know.
Well, and it's a little like the, you know, I say to people, just because Purolator or FedEx or the Postal Service comes to your door with a package doesn't mean you have to invite it in.
There you go, yeah.
You know, I mean, it might be a delivery for someone else.
Yeah.
And the way that you know if it's a delivery for someone else is if you're excited about the delivery and it makes you happy, then it's for you.
Yeah.
And if it's something that makes you depressed or sad or frustrated, it's not your delivery.
Such as a notice or something like that, or a legal thing which you don't want. You say, no, I'm not in today. And then they say,
that's not my reality. Yeah,
that's right. So, but you're a Mr. Oliver? Yeah, but I'm not here today.
Yeah. Well, and it's the, you know, we get to create our world, as you started out at the beginning, and what we think about, we draw to us. And so if we're having negative thoughts in our own mind, even if we don't say anything, they still reflect out. People pick up the vibe. It sends out an energy that's very telling.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why we get the same old back.
Yeah. And it's the same thing, really. I mean, the three questions that are on the back of my mind when I'm selling is, you know, I guess you can ask the same questions, can't you? Sort of, what is it that I want? Why do I want it? And that why is really deep. You know, I mean, that's not just a superficial why. And, you know, what is my degree of motivation to change?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I prepared to do what it takes to change,
mm-hmm.
To go through the process of change? And that's really it. And depending on people's, my experience, depending on people's degree of discomfort, I guess, you know, will depend on the degree that they will change and also the degree of desire to move forward.
Yes, and it's learning to make that change before it gets too uncomfortable. You know, it's learning to move that forward, and so that the first notice of discomfort or dis-ease or out of syncness, if that's a word,
yeah,
it's asking yourself, what do I want in terms of the process that I work with? What do I want instead of this?
Yeah, exactly,
you know?
The same thing as in selling. It's helping people buy. It's helping them understand more precisely what it is they want, because many times people aren't clear. And then why they want it, because that will really make it clear and allow people to think deeply. And then in terms of doing that, here's the interesting thing, is that having that kind of conversation around the what's and the why's actually alters the motivation to change. So if people are kind of somewhat motivated, all of a sudden, in the present moment, they'll become more motivated because it comes clearer to them as to what it is they want, why they want it, and why not do it now.
Exactly. And one of the things that I find frequently with people is that they're so stuck in the frustration or the anger or the wherever it is that they can't see what they want instead.
That's why they come to people like you.
Well, yeah, exactly. And to learn to discipline your own mind to move yourself through that is really, really helpful.
Yeah, very much so. And I think it is to do with discipline. There's a little saying that I use that with discipline comes freedom.
Mm.
And that if you can discipline yourself to do certain things, the discipline becomes a normal habit after a while. It no longer becomes a burden. Or if it does feel a burden, turn it into something that is enjoyable or see an end result. But the main thing is that I find that people get comfortable with their discomfort. They're comfortable with what they know than what they don't know. And the journey of life really is about what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a Portuguese philosopher, Machado, who said, take the path untrod. You know, so I like Yogi Berra, who said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it.
Yes.
Well, most people take the fork that they're familiar with, whereas the true journey is in the unfamiliar fork, and that's usually where the adventure is. That's usually where the success, the knowing, all the desires, if you like, become sort of activated. You know, that's where you can achieve what it is that you want to achieve.
Well, and that's the Robert Frost poem, isn't it? The Road Not Taken. But I came to a fork in the woods.
Was that wrong? I don't know.
A beautiful poem. You didn't go to school in Canada. Can't believe they didn't make you study it in England as well.
No, I couldn't afford to go to school. I was too poor. No,
yeah.
I'm
well, you've done well without it, that's for sure. But
isn't that like the book, The Road Less Traveled?
The Road Less Traveled
yeah.
book. Yeah, and it's the same concept. It's if you want the same results, do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, Einstein's definition of insanity.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And it's taking that, okay, so what if I did this instead?
Yeah. That book, The Road Less Traveled, was really interesting because I've never seen someone write a book geared specifically to one person called Les.
Mm.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, and what was Les's last name?
Yeah, I don't know.
What was the road he was traveling? Well, we're all on a journey, and we spoke last week. I had Eileen McGann on, and we spoke about the journey and the metaphor of the journey and all of that. But it's very important to explore those other roads, those other possibilities, because otherwise we stay stuck.
Oh, I think it's for me anyway, personally, it's all about exploring other possibilities. Is stepping out and going down those roads, going down those little lanes and peeking around corners and unknown areas and stepping into fields that say, you know, no entry or something like that. Great place to go.
Well, we'll be back right after this break with Michael Oliver, naturalselling.com, and you're listening to What Do You Want Instead?
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Belief repatterning assists individuals to release limitations, visualize a joyful and loving life, and create self-empowering beliefs. Belief repatterning technique is an extremely effective and elegant method for releasing limiting beliefs and living your life on purpose with ease and grace. This technique is available to you in a number of ways designed to meet your personal learning style and circumstances. One-on-one consultations, in person and over the phone, business and life coaching packages, courses, seminars and conferences, and CDs and books. Additional information regarding sessions, coaching, seminars, and course offerings is available on our website, www.beliefrepattering.com, or contact our office Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m. Mountain Time at 403-862-6483. BeliefRepattering.com, assisting individuals to release limitations, visualize a joyful and loving life, and create self-empowering beliefs. BeliefRepattering.com. Achieve exceptional levels of health and fitness through integrating the very best in fitness, nutrition, and healing. Tune into Total Fitness with fitness, nutrition, and healing coaches Catherine Kerrigan and James Williams. Each week, get inspired to exercise, eat and rest in harmony with your body's needs, and take advantage of effective natural healing methods with in-depth cutting-edge information and advice. Get fit, get healthy, get motivated, and get real with Total Fitness, broadcasting every Friday at 7 a.m. on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Mental illness will touch 50% of us either personally, in a loved one, family member, or close friend. The recognizable lexicon of disorders includes depression, anxiety, brain injury, bipolar disorder, attention deficit disorder, and schizophrenia. But what does it all mean? On Psychiatry, Ask the Expert, hosted by Dr. Neil Kay, Dr. Kay explores the inner workings of the brain and mind. From proper diagnosis to treatment of the behavioral, cognitive, and emotional aspects of mental illness, renowned board-certified psychiatrist and mental health expert, Dr. Kay addresses these issues of the most common illnesses facing us in today's fast-paced, stress-filled, challenging world. Psychiatry, Ask the Expert, broadcasts each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to What Do You Want Instead? With Suze Casey. If you're interested in joining our conversation with a question or comment, please call us, 866-472-5792. Now, here's Suze.
Hi, and welcome back to What Do You Want Instead? I hope wherever you are, you've got as beautiful a view out your window. I'm just looked out the window, and I'm in the beautiful Invermere Valley in central British Columbia, Canada. Little white-topped mountains, and it's really, really spring here. We went on a hike yesterday. There was crocus all over the place. We're having a couple of days of R&R out at the lake, and it's just bright blue sky and a beautiful day. And I'm thoroughly enjoying looking out the window. And I want to just do a quick thank you to Carol Gordon, whose office I am using today in Invermere, and also who's the woman who introduced me to my guest today, Michael Oliver. So it's kind of appropriate, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. No, Carol, very well.
Yeah, so we've been talking a bit about how to, well, we've been talking a lot about how to sell things to others by focusing on the service, how to remove your own judgment. And I think that's something I want to just pick up. When you're talking, Michael, about working, you know, in the sales arena, it's about letting go of the judgment, letting go of your intent, and focusing on what the other person needs. And the work that I do is very much alike in that it's the letting go of the judgment on self. You know, that letting go of beating up on yourself or
mm-hmm.
wondering why you did it or focusing on that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have some interesting discovery staging questions that you use to help find out where people are when you're working with them. And they're quite similar to the questions that I encourage people to use with themselves
mm-hmm.
to find out where they're at. So maybe we can talk about that for a few minutes.
Well, sure. There's, if you like, a conversation framework. And, you know, you can use parts of this to talk with yourself about it or give it to someone else and let them talk with you about it. The conversation framework is basically based on five different stages of a conversation or a sales dialogue. And the first stage is the connecting stage. The second stage is the discovery stage. Then you've got transitioning stage. Then you've got presenting stage and committing stage, where the final commitment is made. And the two most important stages are the first two, connecting and discovering. And in fact, that's where the change is made. The change is not made at the presenting or the committing. It's all done within the conversation, within the dialogue. Because as people are having a dialogue, whether you're having internal dialogue, in your case, there, Suze, or you're asking people questions and they're answering your questions, is that they are hearing themselves talk and they are, again, painting that picture for themselves. They're feeling their present situation. And people make changes based on feelings, emotions, subjective reality, more than they do logic. It's 90% feelings and 10% logic. And so people go through this process, and that's where they determine to make the change in the present moment as this conversation is happening. And so having sort of made that connection, and there's ways of doing that, it's very important, the discovery stage is based on different types of questions. And you mentioned my e-course, and we talk about those on the free e-course. We touch on those in the free e-course. that you can get to understand more about how to develop this. And so the basic questions that you want to ask around which, sorry, you ask questions around these basic questions. And the questions are, what do you want? Why do you want it? What have you done about it? What will happen if you don't do anything about it? And are you ready to make a change right now? So this goes, what do you want? Why do you want it? What have you done about it? What will happen if you don't do anything about it? And are you ready to make a change? And those are sort of those are basic questions. There's different types of questions in there. And that's what I teach is to understand the different types of questions. And the questions then will just surface for you. They will come naturally to you. And that allows a broad and deep sense of conversation to allow a person to surface everything that is going on for them to come to their own logical conclusion. And that's one of the big differences in natural selling, is to allow people to come to their own logical conclusion in a somewhat of an in-depth way. And it doesn't have to take very long. It can take as short as 4 or 5 minutes. It might take half an hour. Who knows? We shouldn't be on our time anyway. It's better to be on the other person's time.
Well, and that's part of the service.
That's exactly it, yeah.
And, you know, when I relate that to the work that I do, people will say to me, I can't believe it took me so long to understand this. And it's like, it took you the perfect amount of time. Just be kind to yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you got there now?
Yeah.
Because we tend to be pretty hard on ourselves sometimes. And the natural selling concept is about making things easy and caring and open.
Yeah, it is. It's just a matter of making things easy for yourself and making things easy for the other person, easy for the other person to see where their present situation is, you know, which they do by talking about their past, okay, because that's where most people are stuck, in their past history. So they talk about it right now in the present, and you allow people to see any vision or to bring any future vision or ideas or dreams they have to talk about it where? Right now in the present. Because that's all we have, is the present moment.
And the subconscious mind, of course, doesn't know the difference between past and present.
Not really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you, Michael. And speaking of present, as always, the hour goes very quickly. I would encourage listeners to check out Michael's website at www.naturalselling.com and sign up for that e-course. It's a week. And one of the things I loved about it, Michael, is it came into my inbox and I could just breeze through it in about 2-3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And read the little exercises and kind of tuck them in the back of my mind and go ahead and do them. And so it was a lovely quick reminder I would really encourage listeners to take a look at. So just in closing, Michael, you know, thank you so much for agreeing to come on board, and thank you for all of the support you've been to me, knowingly and unknowingly, with your natural selling work. And, you know, I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. I really appreciate being invited, and I wish you and everyone else who is listening all the best as well. God bless. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And this is our first day on the Seventh Wave Network, which is a conscious community, or sorry, online community for conscious change. And we are being heard simultaneously on health.voiceamerica and seventhwavenetwork.com. And my guest today was Michael Oliver, Natural Selling. Next week, I have a guest by the name of Allison, and she is a client who has been feeling frustrated in her life about setting goals and moving forward, and then she gets into the kind of foggy bits and not really sure where she wants to be next. And so she's asked me to work with her on some clarity around that, and so we will be walking through a process that helps you identify that sabotaging behavior and learn to use the past results that you've had to propel yourself forward. Allison and I will look at helping you find the balance and moving you beyond the obstacles that have held you back into the life that you desire. And so that's next week on What Do You Want Instead? And Michael, thank you once again for joining us. I really appreciate the time that you've spent and would encourage listeners to take a look at your website and grab the book, Natural Selling, even if you're not a network marketer or a direct seller. I think there's a lot there to be done.
Thank you, Sue.
I wasn't sure if I'd lost you there.
No, I'm still here.
That's great. And so until next week, we are looking forward. I'm sitting here going, they told me 4 minutes ago that we had 2 minutes, so I guess we're just about there. I really appreciate you coming on board, Michael, and we will be back next week with Allison and take a look at helping people find what they want and where they want it. And that just ties really nicely into the natural selling concept.
And, of course, the website is www.naturalselling.com.
That's right. And I might as well just do a little flip for mine as well. It's www.beliefrepatterning.com. And on that site, you'll find an MP3 downloadable of today's conversation and also the conversations that we've had in the past. Guests like Michael Lozier have been on, we have Michael Oliver today. And on the 18th of May, we'll have Mike Dooley, and your name doesn't have to be Mike, to be honest. We are encouraging people to call in as well, and so I hope that you'll call in next week with questions and looking about how you can make your goals your reality. So we're ready to close now, and thank you so much for joining us on What Do You Want Instead? My guest, Michael Oliver at NaturalSelling.com. Take care, have a wonderful week, and thank you so much. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining What Do You Want Instead? Next Thursday, Sue's Casey will be back with more thought-provoking discussions to support you in creating conversations of possibilities. Continue honoring and being yourself. To contact Sue's, beliefrepattering.com.